precisely because, he said now, Russia lacked any traditions of its own, Russia could embrace the traditions of a real civilization that had grown naturally, namely Western Europe. And he said, as a result, that there was one important early man who understood this, and that was Peter the Great. And his words you've heard before, he said of Peter, in his hand, Peter the Great found only a blank sheet of paper, and with a strong hand he wrote on it, Europe in the West. Now you can see the context of Chidayev's notion that Russia was a blank sheet of paper, but with will and reason, you could write on it, the West, Europe and the West, I should have said. The Slavophiles were among the fiercest critics of Chidayev. They shared with Chidayev one thing, above all, this romantic view of history as a source of nationhood. Though Chidayev himself began to abandon this in favor of the power of reason, embracing a truly historical civilization. But what the Slavophiles did is see in Russia's past the thing that Chidayev did not see. Not a succession of facts, but, in his words again, a series of interconnected ideas. The Slavophiles said this does exist in Russia. And to demonstrate this, they began studying and collecting Russian folklore, studying popular cultural traditions. Chidayev, by the way, along with many of the Westernizers, was absolutely contemptuous of these sort of ethnographic exercises to discover the culture of the Russian people. As he wrote, from time to time, our fanatic Slavophiles exhume objects of general interest for our museums and libraries. But I doubt that these Slavophiles will ever be able to extract something from our historical soil that can fill the void in our souls or condense the vagueness of our spirit. But this is precisely what the Slavophiles thought they had found. And partly they did this by turning Chidayev's argument on its head. They agreed that some Russians indeed, as Chidayev said, were homeless nomads. But this, he said, only applied to westernized Russians, whose Western education had alienated them from their own culture, had uprooted them from their own real Russian society, from the naturalness that existed in Russia. In ordinary people, they said, those traditions, that nationhood, that natural organic development still existed. And the most important of these traditions, they said, was a communal spirit, a sense of community that had never been lost by the common people of Russia. And they adapt an older theological concept that was already around and called this spirit sobornosts. Sobornost was an older idea. In fact, it comes from the idea of a religious gathering, a religious community. And this idea was at the heart of all Slavophile traditions, all Slavophile thinking about Russia and its future. Usually this word is translated rather obscurely as consularity, because sobor means a type of council. But more importantly, sobornness could be translated as spiritual community, a natural, essential community rooted in the spiritual, not in the sense of religion, though that was part of it, but in terms of a common inward spirit, shared values, a collective psychology. In other words, sobornists, their central ideal, was an ideal of a society that existed as a community, united by free will on the basis of shared values and indeed even shared ways of feeling. This idea was most fully elaborated by one particular Slavophile named Alexei Chomyakov. And for Slavophiles like Chomyakov, Russia embodied these values of spiritual community like no other country. It really went to the heart of what Russia was. One reason Russia did so, Russia's nationhood was so imbued with this spiritual community of sobornost, was the particular character of Russian religion, the fact that Russians were Eastern Orthodox, which was seen to nurture this communal spirit with its focus on community and its focus on the ritual process of prayer. Ironically, but significantly, telling us something about Russia at the time, the Orthodox Church completely disagreed with the way Chomyakov and the Slavophiles thought about Orthodoxy. In fact, the Holy Synod, the administrative body that administered the church, declared that the idea of sobornost challenged church authority as an institution, placed too much emphasis on faith, on will, even if it was a collective faith and will, and too little emphasis on the institutions and structures of the church. So they forbid Chomyakov's writings about subornus. And ironically, this Slavophile had to publish these ideas about the true nature of Russia in Western Europe.